As I said, we are truly indebted to our mothers. They taught us how to pray. Yes, children are dismissed. Thank you for that reminder. They taught us how to pray. You better pray that comes out of the carpet. That's what that says. They taught us about the weather. This room of yours looks like a tornado went through it. They taught us about logic. Because I said so, that's why. And they taught us about irony. You keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. Well, in all seriousness, while these anecdotes reveal a certain exasperation that every mother knows, the reason is undoubtedly because a good mother expends her soul on her children to such an extent that often they spend the very best years of their lives in varying degrees of exhaustion. "What is wrong with me?" says the young lady to the doctor. "I feel like I'm falling apart." And the doctor's diagnosis, "I'm afraid you have what's known as children." Barb often looks at a young mother and then will whisper over to me, "She has those tired mommy eyes." And if it were just the laundry and meals and sniffles and bruised knees and that sort of thing, that would be enough. But it's not just the physical care a good mother is interested in. She knows there's so much more to her child's growth and development, more than just the physical. She's got to teach them how to walk, how to tie their shoes, how to count, how to tell their colors, how to pick up after themselves. A little time goes by and it's time to make sure they can ride a bike or to write or speak politely. How to study for a test, how to dress appropriately, choose good friends. More time goes by, in a flash, you're teaching them how to drive, Mom. How to get a job, how to keep that job, what to spend their money on, how to guard their purity, how to be a person of integrity. How to prepare for independent living and adulthood. Is it any wonder she is exhausted? And speaking of learning how to pray, if all that won't teach a mom how to pray, I don't know what will. I hope she has a good husband to help her with all that. So the goal, of course, for every mother is not just to get them out of the house. At least usually that's not the goal, or at least not the primary goal. It's not just about the physical maturity, is it? But it's to bring them to maturity in every way, socially, intellectually, emotionally, morally, to help them to be fruitful in every way. The passage before us that we're studying today charts a course for spiritual growth and development, and in many ways it parallels the process of development that a mother brings her child along as she oversees that little one to maturity. Spiritual maturity is a process, much like that process that transforms an infant into a child, then an adolescent, eventually an adult. And we read of that process here in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And I wonder if, as we come to the Word of God, if you would stand with me and we'll read it together aloud. Out of deference to the Word of God, thank you for standing. Let's read together. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and strengthened in the faith, just as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness." Lord Jesus, you had this written, recorded, and kept all of these millennia for us. What did you mean to say to us? We invite you to speak unmistakably to us this morning, quite apart from any distraction I might bring, but most powerfully through your Spirit and through your Word, we invite you to address our hearts, to give us those ears to hear, those eyes to see, and hearts to respond to you. For we ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. At first read, it appears that Paul is mixing all his metaphors. Look with me. "As you therefore have received Jesus, Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him." Many of your translations translate that "live." And of course, the Greek mind, walking was living. You go through your life walking, and so we can understand how he uses that metaphor. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, having been firmly rooted. Okay, there's a tree in my mind. Having been firmly rooted, and now being built up in him. So that word conjures up buildings, right? Building on a foundation, building. And not just that, and strengthened in the faith. So now I see in my mind's eye, you know, the guy at the gym working out, building the muscles. Just as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing. I'm picturing a river overflowing its banks, or a cup just that you wouldn't stop pouring, and it's overflowing its edges. Paul, we have a hard time anyway tracking with you, but when you do this, it really makes it difficult. We see these words, firmly rooted, clearly the image of a tree, a strong and healthy root system. Brings the nutrients and the waters to the tree, to the rest of the tree. It helps the tree withstand the storms. This word being built up gives us that image of being built up on a foundation, and that's how the scriptures use the word. Paul said, I laid the foundation, another is building upon it. Every person builds on the foundation, remember this one, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw. So there's his usage. And then this strength. Paul used the word elsewhere. Now he who strengthens us is God. He who strengthens us to stand firm. And then this overflowing, we see that word used this way in several occasions in the Bible. After Jesus fed the 5,000, says it, they took up what was left over, or the overflow, and that was 12 baskets worth. So that's the use of that word there. The prodigal son, when he came to his senses in that faraway land, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, this abundance of bread, this overflow of bread? How many of them have more than enough, an overflow of bread, and I am here dying with hunger? And in Ephesians, the early part of Ephesians, we read, in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. So there's your usage of this word that here is translated overflowing. Some of the translations say abounding, and you get the idea that this is just more than can be contained, more than enough, too much to hold in the container, too much, 12 baskets worth too much Jesus made of the bread. Lavished upon us. So, Paul, what are you doing with all of these metaphors? Well, I've been wrestling with that, and I agree that walk is definitely separate from the rest of these, but beyond this metaphor, walk, I would like to suggest to you that Paul is actually using one metaphor with the other four. I think that he is using one metaphor to represent what he started with, a tree firmly rooted, a tree built up, and a tree strengthened, and a tree overflowing or abounding in fruitfulness, in this case, thankfulness. Let's see if you agree with it again. Here's the firmly rooted, and then it's being built up. What is a little sapling coming up out of the ground? It's shooting up for the sky, isn't it? It's making tracks, but it's not very sturdy, is it? But then the next phase, being strengthened, a tree grows strong and wide, and then in due time, it's fruitful and abundantly so. Well, you might say that it is abounding with fruitfulness. And that after it has been built up and strengthened. Well, I'm suggesting that to you. You think about it as we go through. Here come the apples and the pears or the acorns or whatever in the fruitfulness. And I would just like to contrast the Lord's way of doing fruitful with our way of doing fruitful. You know, in today's business world, if you have a business that is one of the top-tier businesses, it might have a name like Apple or Google in front of it, and boy, you are rolling in the profits. How much profit? Well, some of these places are turning in 25% of gross profit. So for every dollar you give them, they're keeping 25 cents to after they pay all their bills. It's phenomenal. I can't imagine that. No business I ever did, ever. I would struggle just to have black colored letter numbers at the bottom. Do you know what I mean? A good business, George Shork, is 10%, right, in America? And Henry, would you agree with that? But listen to the way the Lord does fruitful. The Lord takes one oak tree and how many acorns? Or how many apples? And year after year, or how many pears? In fact, how about a kernel of corn? Wikipedia says there are an average 800 kernels of corn on one ear. Now that's what you call some serious return on investment. Well, that's the word, this abounding sense that we need to be thinking of, not even Google money, Google profits, the Lord's way of doing profits. So, I think Paul is using this metaphor of a tree to typify the life of a Christ follower that is firmly rooted in him. Notice that, in him. Firmly rooted in him, in Christ. Being built up in him. Being strengthened in the faith. And overflowing with gratitude back to the Father. And I think he uses this metaphor of the life of a tree to help us grasp and remember what we should be doing in our Christian lives as we walk in the Lord, as we walk in him. As we walk in him, having been rooted, firmly rooted, having been firmly rooted in him, being built up in him, being strengthened in the faith, and overflowing with gratitude. Life is so busy and hectic and confusing, sometimes I don't know where to give my attention. And maybe the Apostle Paul said, let's use the illustration of a tree. That's what I submit to you this morning. Now let's take another pass at this passage. And I would like to ask you to look at the tense of the verbs. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord. So that's a past tense thing. Walk in him, having been firmly rooted, and now being built up in him and strengthened in the faith. So in the past, there was this moment or this event that happened when you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. And then we come to this having been firmly rooted and now going forward. Now switch to the present. And John, I wonder if you'd just bring some of these lights down a little bit to make it read a little easier. And now we come and he's a transitioning. We switch to the present. Having received and having been firmly rooted, but now being built up. That's a present tense something or other. Something's going on now in your life that is happening. Being built up in him. And what's next? Being strengthened, that's a present participle also, and being strengthened in the faith, just as you were taught, and another one, overflowing with thankfulness, abounding with thankfulness. So interesting that something predated, and now something is ongoing. What are those things? Let's look at it again. From another angle, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. Now, what is that? Is that a statement? Is it a question? What is that that I've highlighted in purple? What do you call that? Pardon? An imperative. Is that what somebody said over here? Or a command for the people of us that don't know those big 50-cent words? That's just a command. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. Having been firmly rooted in faith, but there's something that comes before it. And I've highlighted here in yellow, what would you call that? Would that be some sort of precursor, something that is that caused the next thing to be able to happen? What do you think about it? As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, it's a basis, right? Here is the basis for you to walk in Him. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, then comes the command, walk in Him. So logically, we ask the question, how did we, if it says that's the basis for walking in Him, is what we received, how we received Christ Jesus the Lord, let's ask the question, how did we receive Christ Jesus the Lord? That should tell us how we should walk. So I want to ask you, and I want your help right now, how did we receive Christ Jesus the Lord? Talk to me. Who said that?
Freely.
Freely. How else?
By faith.
By faith. How else?
With joy.
How else?
In gratitude.
In gratitude. With gratitude. How else?
By grace.
By grace. Ephesians 2:8. By grace are you saved through faith, freely. All these others. What else?
Voluntarily.
All right. What else?
After repentance.
After repentance, which would imply
humility,
which would imply a need, sin, all those things, right? Well, I agree with you. And I wonder if we have some indicators right here in our opening phrase. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, you didn't earn it. It wasn't due you. You received it. And we know elsewhere from the scriptures it was a gift. And it was given freely. All the things that you said. As you therefore have received Christ, which means Messiah or Anointed One, as you therefore have received Christ or the Messiah or the Anointed One, and what does that allude to? Well, you remember all of chapter 1, the magnificent Christ, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Reconciler, the image of God, the one who was firstborn from the dead, and all of those things from chapter 1. That's the one you received. As therefore you have received the Anointed One of God to reconcile you, to bring you back to fellowship with God, all the things we've been traveling through, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, and Jesus, of course, means Savior. So there's the recognition of our sin, our need for repentance, our need of a Savior, because we were unable. As you therefore have received as this gift, the Anointed One, the Savior, the Lord. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, the one in charge, you gave your life to Him. You said, it's now going to be your way, Father. It's not my way anymore. You're the master. You say, jump. I say, how high. You're in charge. I've obviously ruined things pretty well myself. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, with all that as a background, all that as the basis, it's all about Him, isn't it? It's not me. It is humility. It's by grace through faith, not by works of righteousness. With thanksgiving and whole life devotion, all of that, don't you think, is conveyed in that opening sentence? As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him. Live your lives in Him. And we might say in today's lingua franca, journey on in Him, right? Walk in Him. So, if at some point you have received the Savior gift, your sins are forgiven, you've been saved and rescued, if at some point you bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus in humility, if at some time you thanked God profusely for saving you, if at some day there was a day when you gave your whole life to Him as Lord, then I ask you, how is it changing today for you? How then are you walking, journeying, living today? As you therefore, and put your name in there, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him. It begs the question then, I have, most of you have, received Christ Jesus the Lord. How then am I walking? Am I walking in Him? And what does that mean? Have things changed? There is a new sheriff in town, if he's your Lord. Paul says, as you received Him, walk in Him. And those words, in Him, deserve some attention. Let's give that attention to it. And it's repeated in the next verse, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him. What is the significance of those words? Well, sometimes I like to ask the question, flip the question and say, as opposed to what? If it's not in Him, then what would it be? Well, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, walk in Him, as opposed to apart from Him. Walk in Him, focused on Him, not focused on me. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him, because it's a relationship. It's a relationship. It's not a religious set of rules and duties, is it? No, it's a relationship. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, the Savior, came to die to seek lost sinners like you, paid the price so you could be reconciled. All of that that goes into that. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him. Not apart from Him, not focused on yourself. It is a relationship, but also walking in Him means it's a resource for you to not carry out the natural desires that you have that are unpleasing to God. It's a resource for your strength to answer your spouse the right way, a loving way, at the end of a long day. It's the resource to walk in Him, to not act in the flesh, but in the Spirit. It's a resource for strength. That's how the Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Are you trying to grit it out? Just got to get to the end of the day today. You trying to grit it out? Or are you finding that resource for His strength in your need? Well, He doesn't help people in banking jobs, does He? Absolutely. He wants to help you in whatever kind of job you're in. The most glamorous or the most seemingly menial, He wants to help. As you therefore, put your name in there, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, you walk in Him. Walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him. In Him. Can you imagine that the Savior of the world, all that chapter 1 that we went through, the reconciler, the redeemer, the rescuer, the one created, creator, firstborn from the dead so He could reconcile. All of those things. Then we come to the end of chapter 1 and it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's your hope for the future. That's the hope for everything. Christ in you, He says. He's already in you. You walk in Him. Not apart from Him, not focused on yourself. It's more than just duty, it's a relationship. And He is the incredible resource that you need. Well, the next question we might ask ourselves is, what's my role in all of this? What part of this is my part? What do I have to do? As you, therefore, I've put the text a little bit differently. As you, therefore, have received Christ Jesus the Lord, and I look at that phrase, have received Christ Jesus the Lord, and I get what you said already. It was a gift. It was a gift. Did you have anything to do with it? You said yes, but otherwise you had nothing to do with that transaction. It was done for you, on your behalf. You were invited to say yes. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord. That's kind of a given. Now here's your part. Walk in Him. Is that a suggestion? No. It's a command. And it's directed to the person sitting next to you, right? Or to your spouse. Or to your kids or your parents, but anybody but me, right? No. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, you walk in Him. You are the one that must respond to that question. Not the person next to you, your spouse or your parent or your child, not your pastor, your elder. You walk in Him. Having been firmly rooted in Him, well, you might disagree with me here, but I understand that Paul is saying that we didn't do that either, that that happened on Christ's work, that God planted you. He may have used numerous people in your life to bring you to Him, but He planted you. You didn't do the firm planting. He did that. Okay, I'm liking this, that there's less of my responsibility here, but now it goes back to green. And now, being built up in Him, sounds like I've got to be a play a part in that. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him, having been firmly rooted in Him. And now, do you see the difference? You were firmly rooted in Him, but now there's somebody that's got to take action. That's you. That's me. Being built up in Him. What else? Strengthened in the faith. You need to do that somehow, whatever that means. Just as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Okay? Aren't you glad that we made it easy this morning? Wow, there's a lot in these couple of verses, isn't it? And I'm going out of here with my shoulders more weighed down than when I came in. Are you? Well, how are we to do these things? If that's my role, to walk with Him and be built up and strengthened in faith and overflow with thankfulness, how do I do that? What, in fact, does that even mean? How do I walk in Him? Well, I think here again we go right back to our text. I think the apostle spells it out for us. How do I walk in Him? As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him, having been firmly rooted. If you notice those two phrases in your Bible, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him. Most commentators think the "in Him" goes with both of those. Having been firmly rooted in Him and now being built up in Him. So that's why I put those in parentheses. Having been firmly rooted in Him, something about being firmly rooted in Him must have something to do with how I am to walk in Him. Let's keep going. And now being built up in Him, so some way or another, he's saying to walk in Him means something to do with having been firmly rooted in Him and now being built up in Him and being strengthened in the faith and overflowing with thankfulness. Now, these first three, I believe, have to do largely with the Word of God. And what I mean by that is, you take the Word of God and you delve into what's been done for you. What God did, His part, this is the truth. This is going to put you where you need to be as far as what has happened. God's part, I think the Lord wants us to immerse ourselves in the truth of God's Word, and I suggest for that you stick with good preaching, good books, but most of all, the Word of God. And I would encourage you to move past the inspirational talks and books that say, you know, 10 ways to pray God's unrestricted success on your bank account, or any of those. You can look them up. Every day is Friday. How to become a better you. You know, I would just say, put your good efforts and your good energies here. And in the books and the sermons and the preaching and the teaching, to talk with what we need to know here. Open the scriptures, get those books that help you understand the scriptures, and this stuff won't come easy. Having been firmly rooted in Him, that was God's work. But what does it mean? Well, maybe the opening chapter of Ephesians tells us things like, God, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's how I was rooted. Blessed. How else was I rooted? He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. He chose us that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus. These are the kinds of things that tell you what God has already done, how He rooted us in Him. And these are the things that will build us up in Him. And these are the things that will strengthen your faith. For when those difficult times come, when the bank account is more in the red than in the black, when those things happen, you don't go to the book on how to make your bank account abound. You go to the capital book on what God is doing in your life in this particular trial. At least that's what I suggest. Immerse yourselves in the truths of God's Word to facilitate the commands that are given right here about being firmly rooted in Him, being built up in Him, and strengthened in the faith. And when you do those things, when you focus on what God has done and how He rooted you and He is willing to strengthen you and how He is building you up, picture that tree. I am that tree. I'm a thin little thing coming up, and there's not much to me. Nobody can climb me. I'm too thin and I'm too weak. But you keep working on these things, and God will not only grow you up, but He'll grow you strong. And when those winds come, you'll have the resources in Him, the person of all resources. And then what is the result? All of these things, even those few words I read from Ephesians 1, and there's countless places I know you know in our scriptures, will produce thankfulness. Thankfulness. I can't believe You adopted me, Father. I can't believe You planned this from before the foundation of the world. I can't believe You reconciled me. Father, You in heaven know, you in heaven and I on earth are the only two who really know the person You reconciled. Me. And You did it anyway. Overflowing. All these things will help you overflow with thankfulness, abounding in thankfulness. Now, these things take hard work and discipline, and you'll need to ask for Lord Jesus' help. Remember those words He said as much, apart from Me, you can do nothing, which would include these things here, how to be strengthened in the faith, how to be built up in Him, even overflowing with thankfulness. Apart from Me, you can do nothing, He said. And so they were pointed back to the walk in Him. Let Him be doing the things for you that you need. Sometimes it means a choice. We have to say, what will we say no to in order to be built up, to be strengthened, to give occasion more than just at mealtime for thanksgiving? Do you think the Lord invites us if He says, count the cost, take up your cross daily and die for Me? Do you think He expects us also to be willing to take hard choices and say, today I say no to this so that I can say yes to some time to be built up? Time to look at my roots. Time to hear from You, Father in heaven, about how You've strengthened me. Time to give You thanks. Time to give more than just a mealtime thank you of overflowing thankfulness. Well, I was working in the yard the other day, and there in my yard I came across 3.5 little leaves, and they looked surprising like the oak tree above that section of grass. And I thought to myself, well, I don't really want an oak tree right here. So I reached down in there thinking I better go for the root. And that tiny little bit that was visible to me had all of that down in the ground, firmly rooted as it was. And I had to really, really go after that little thing. And that thing's been alive for, what, just a few months? Already it's taking serious root. And you've probably heard this analogy that as much as the oak tree as you see above the ground, there's that much beneath the ground. I've never dug one up to just see all of that, but it preaches, right? So I'll use that. This oak tree, this little oak thing has more under the ground than above the ground. So I don't know if it holds fully true. But apparently being rooted is really important to a tree. And we've all seen at the coast those palm trees with just a little tiny thing blown over, right? But those really strong trees that really endure the high winds are firmly rooted. And someday you couldn't pull them out with your hand if you had to. It takes incredible earth-moving equipment to pull them out. But you know, that little fella didn't get to be that guy without some long, cold winters, some really hot Augusts around here, a whole lot of bugs gnawing on his bark. You know what I'm saying? A few dogs coming by to water it, make it grow strong. Are you getting the picture? If you and I are to be strengthened, built up, then it's going to take some of those long, cold winters and hot August, dry seasons even, and all the rest, the insects that really irritate us. But really, you and I can become a giant oak of a person, spiritually speaking. It won't come quickly or easily, and it will take those cold winters and hot summers. But you just keep on keeping on, having been built up, being strengthened in Him, are being strengthened in the faith, being built up in Him, and overflowing with gratefulness.